All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons with Amos. So we got two new people in media that are here in the studio, and they work for the Indianapolis Star, but first of all, don't hold that against them. They just got to town. So don't bring all this old stuff from 10, 15, 20, 40 years ago. But they are in their own way making history, and we're not even in February yet. Stephen Holder, I'm trying to count the number of African-American sports writers at the Indianapolis Star that they actually let have their picture in the paper as a featured sports writer, feature columnist. I think the number is only three. One lasted a hot minute because he didn't tell the truth on his resume. Oh. The other lasted a while and then has moved. Mike Wells has moved on to bigger and better things. And now Stephen Holder is here. Came here from someplace warm. And you're gonna learn this is not Tampa Bay.
He has a sweater on.
He's
right
got
now,
the sweater on. And he is the Colts insider for the Indianapolis Star, and we welcome him. Now, Candace Buckner is a little bit different history. She is not the first African-American woman or first woman to cover sports in Indianapolis, but all the women who have done that on television. But she is the first woman of color, and may even be the first woman, to be a sports writer for the Indianapolis Star. She comes from the Pacific Northwest, and it's interesting. Ever since she's been here, covering as the Pacers insider, they're undefeated.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Guys, welcome. Welcome to Indianapolis.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So what brought you guys here from warmer climates with oceans and mountains and all this kind of stuff? Stephen Holder, what brought you here? Tell us your life story in 20 words or less.
Well, 20 words or less, I can't do that because, they give me 800 words in the newspaper now.
Okay.
You have to forgive me. But the short version is that I came here because a very good opportunity presented itself. There is nothing bigger in sports today. If you are a so-called beat writer, there's nothing bigger than covering the NFL in today's day and age. It has dominated everything in sports from a media standpoint. And so to be a part of that and to be part of covering a team that's very, very relevant and is really a team that's maybe on the verge of doing some very big things. That's a really good opportunity. And I think the platform I got here with the Star, and I think Candace would agree with this, they're really giving us a platform to be featured and to really kind of create an identity for ourselves. And that's a really unique opportunity.
Now, you came here from Tampa Bay Times.
That's correct.
Where were you before Tampa Bay?
I worked at the Miami Herald. I'm from Miami originally. Okay. So I worked there right out of college and for 7 years following that. And then went on to Tampa Bay. I covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're not necessarily on the cutting edge of doing some great things.
No, they're not. No. You're just following Coach Dungy. See, I get it. I understand that. Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at the University of Miami.
You're at a professional football team down there.
I've always been around pro football.
Now, Candace Buckner, you were at a newspaper in the Pacific Northwest?
That's correct. I was at the Vancouver Columbian. That's Vancouver, Washington. That's right across the bridge from Portland, Oregon. But I'm a Midwest girl.
Okay.
I'm originally from St. Louis.
Uh-oh.
So, that was actually, I only spent about 11 months out in the Pacific Northwest, which is beautiful. If anybody has a chance to go, I definitely recommend it. And I was covering the Portland Trailblazers. So when Steven says, the NFL is the premier beat to cover, which it is, that's the truth. For me personally, it's always been about the NBA.
You're in a basketball town.
Yeah.
But I
grew up in St. Louis, which is weird because we didn't have a basketball team when I was growing up.
I still
love the NBA.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of Missouri, and I have to say it like that because, we like to say we're the best journalism school,
See, we just say the U, so we got to do all that.
So now here, both of you are here. What has been... And obviously, here's one of the things that we're hearing both of about the Pacers and the Colts. We knew that the Colts have kind of bonded, and a lot of it was before when Peyton was still there, and a lot of the stars we all knew in the Super Bowl years, and when Coach Dungy was there. And obviously, last year they really bonded into a family, and I understand that family atmosphere continues in that locker room.
I think it's very, very easy to sense it when you walk in that locker room. Mm-hmm. I've been around the NFL for a long time. I think maybe 7 years of covering the NFL. And that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. It's not always as obvious as it is here. And it sounds kind of hokey, if you will, you know, to say, you know, they really are a family and there's a family atmosphere. Because everybody says sports and they all say they love each other. That's not true, though. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And so, but I do think they have something there that really is not new. I think you hit it on the head. I think this, and it goes back, I think, to Tony Dungy in large part, because he operated his franchise like a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wanted his coaches to go home early at night and spend time with their families in a business where people sleep on the couch in their office. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I think that kind of mentality was started years ago, and it's really continued, I think, with Chuck Pagano, who really does have a good outlook on things, particularly after what happened to him last year.
Candace, and I've also heard that these Pacers are a family atmosphere in that locker room.
Well, you look at Paul George and you look at Lance Stephenson. They came out in the same draft. Mm-hmm. Roy Hibbert is also a homegrown type of guy. He was drafted by Larry Bird. So that core right there, which, you know, I don't like the term big three because it's overused, but they could be the big three of the Pacers. They're all homegrown guys. And they're so young. Mm-hmm. So when you throw in a George Hill and even David West, who's only 30, and Danny Granger, oh, my gosh, how do you forget about him, who's a homegrown type of guy? Yeah, they really, for lack of a better term, they grew up together, and this mm-hmm. is the only team that they've known, everybody except for David West. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that locker room is very tight. I was last year in Portland Trail Blazers. You know, I'm not going to lie. They were a tight one as well just because they were very young and they were going through some struggles together. But this one, to be successful, 8-0 already, and they've had their struggles in years past, so they definitely have that bond.
We're talking with Stephen Holder, the Colts insider, Candace Buckner, the Pacers insider for the Indianapolis Star. Now, that's new. Because it used to be the only person's picture that they would put in the sports section is that Kravitz guy that wouldn't know me if I ran over him with a car, even though I got more seniority around here than he would ever know. So what is it? Because it used to be when they put the sports writers' pictures, that means you're giving opinion as opposed to just straight out writing about the game. Is that the same kind of thing because we see your picture?
It's slightly different. It is different. I think they aren't branding either of us as columnists per se. But what we're doing, I think, is kind of reacting to today's landscape in sports media, which is very analytical and mm-hmm. opinion driven. Right. But in our cases, we're not, I don't think either of us really try to keep our opinions out of it, I think, in both cases. But what we are doing, what they are asking us to do, is to take a broader view and to be very critical, analytical, and really give some perspective without necessarily injecting opinion, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I really, you know what, I really don't know what the Indianapolis Star was like before. I can only talk about what it's now and moving forward. And Ronnie Ramos, who is our editor, is a very innovative guy. He pulled us in, and I believe he wants us to be experts, and he wants us to be the people you go to when you talk about the Colts and Pacers. So he wants to do some cutting edge things, and that's why our picture's in the paper. And although we don't have columns, we're supposed to be the person.
Yeah.
When Coach Dungy, we talked to him on this program on Monday, and he didn't fully drop that he was going to be on that committee to deal with the Miami Dolphins, though he did say that he had talked to the owner of the Dolphins. I should have picked up on that. Well, what did you talk to the owner about, Coach? But he did address that whole Miami situation, similar to the remarks that he made on Sunday Night Football. And what he said, and I think what Rodney Harrison said and some others, is there is an expectation of player leadership at a locker room level. But then I heard the owner of the Dolphins kind of talk about workplace expectations, and it was on Monday Night Football on ESPN, where even Coach Ditka and some of the other brothers that were on there talking about, you know, there needs to be expectations set on young men that whereas you guys, we all work for corporations. When you go to a corporation, they say, here are the expectations. Here are the rules of the game. Here's the codes of conduct that you have to meet. And it may be that though that doesn't exist in sports, and all they want the players to do, here's your contract, follow what's in on the contract. If it's not in the contract, don't worry about it. This whole thing of there's a need to be codes of conduct, there's a need to be the same kind of employee expectations in a sports workplace as there are in regular workplaces?
You know, I've heard that argument made over the past over the past week that yes, I mean, these locker rooms are a place of work, a place of business, if you will. And you know, in fact, they're places of very lucrative business because there are very few commodities in business that are more valuable than the players on those courts and those fields. I mean, so I think that approach is absolutely necessary. And I think really, without knowing the particulars of what happened in Miami, the one thing I can say from my own experience, and Candace can speak to this maybe, is just I think all of this starts and ends with your leaders making good decisions and understanding their influence and their role. And if your leaders are good people, then that tends to trickle down. You can have some bad apples, but they can't be the guys in leadership positions.
Very true. Same.
Very true. And just with this Pacers locker room, and we can only speak to so much because the media lets in and they turn down the music and they put on their faces and they get ready for their sound bites and their cliches. But for the most part, when I am around them, you know, I see that Paul, as young as he is, at 24, he's very mature. And he is a leader in that locker room. David West, who is a man's man, but he's also a responsible guy. He's a leader and a voice in that locker room. So you can't be a knucklehead in the Pacers locker room. I look around when I'm scanning around it. I can't think of one guy who's speaking out of place or doing something stupid.
It was even funny because you were obviously working the game Monday night while these people were pontificating on ESPN, and I'm listening and I'm going, y'all need to, what do you mean y'all talking about behavior in the workplace, ESPN? I was looking at some of them saying, is this the pot calling the kettle black? Let me go to Jeff right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Jeff.
Ed, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
And a hello to your guest.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, listen, I got a dilemma, and this is for the three of you to answer this question. Then I have a question for you, Amos, and I want a gut honest answer.
Oh, Lord, not the gut honest answers.
That's right. You know me, Amos. You know I like to stir the pot. Anyway, and you're right about Kravitz. He's a clown. Anyway.
hold on now.
You know, All right. Well, come on. Right. Come on, Jeff.
I am a staunch Washington Redskins fan. Okay. Been there. I've been a Washington Redskins fan since Joe Theismann, John Riggins, and Doug Williams, and Art Monk. Now, you notice this new controversy about the Redskins' name. They said it's offensive to African Americans, not to African, to Native Americans. Well, you know, I don't have a problem with a team called the Baltimore Jigaboos or whatever, or the Chicago Mix. You know, I'm sure people would find those names offensive. I want you to get their opinions about the Washington Redskins and the name of the Washington Redskins. And Amos, you know, I'm a huge RG3 fan, and you know, RG3 almost ended up in Indianapolis, but you know, it went for luck. Okay, I can dig it. This is Indiana. We all know about Indiana. And Amos, for you, is Indianapolis ready for a black quarterback? If not, why?
All right, that's an interesting point. On this whole Redskins, and I know there are a number of media outlets that have made that change and said, hey, we're not gonna do that. Is part of that waiting for a big national newspaper to go that way, like USA Today or something like that? Is that going to help do that? Or, and I know there was a meeting between Dan Snyder and the NFL commissioner. Is the NFL, what buzz are you hearing on all of that?
I would be very surprised if the team itself ever made any kind of significant move toward changing the name. I would personally be surprised. I just think they're too invested in it, and they are, I think, my opinion, I think they're probably willing to endure the scrutiny that will come as a result of keeping that name in hopes that one day it'll die down, and that's probably true. Most of these controversies tend to have a shelf life, so I mean, I think that's probably the way it's going to go. Should they be more responsive to it? I think there's an argument for that. I mean, you know, this is a different day and age, and people want to call it political correctness, but the fact of the matter is we're just more sensitive to how our words affect others today, and that's a good thing.
On the RG3 luck controversy, which was a big deal here.
Sure.
I mean, Jim Irsay, you know, made his decision. There were a lot of people that felt one way or another. That will never be vindicated until luck or RG3 gets to a Super Bowl and wins. Is that one of these arguments that will never be settled?
Probably, but I think that, for one thing, Luck has had the good fortune of not getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think he's on a little bit further track, I guess, if you will, right now compared to RG3, who started this year a little slower and had to overcome his physical issues. But, I think that sort of thing will bear itself out over time.
He's also got a humility.
He does. You're talking about Andrew Luck.
Yeah, he does.
I think the guy you see on TV is genuine, is very, very genuine. Like, he doesn't necessarily treat me any differently than the biggest star on ESPN. If they are in that locker room trying to interview him, they don't get necessarily any more than I do. He treats us all the same, and he views all people equally.
I thought after the Sunday night game where they tried to bait him into me, and he
don't
started team and lifting up Reggie Wayne,
yeah.
I thought that showed some sophistication, of the individual, and then now the pressure's on Pacers. We're playing what Friday? Next game,
Milwaukee. Yeah,
Milwaukee. Right. That'll be 9. How much does the pressure ratchet up? Because the law of averages says 8 in a row to start is great. The more you win, the more pressure. And what is the record in the NBA for starting the season undefeated?
You know, could be mistaken. I think it's 15-0 by 92-93 Houston Rockets. Or 93-94 Houston Rockets.
Did they win the championship starting out that? Because I'd rather.
Those were the Olajuwon years post-Jordan, so I believe they did.
I think they did, yeah.
Big
shot Bob, by the way.
At what point will they start feeling that pressure, or it really doesn't matter because it still is early in the season?
You know, it's way too early in the season to get too excited. I know it's nice, 8 in a row. They don't put on too much about the significance and how important it is for them. I think once they surpass the 7-0 plateau, which was a franchise record, and that was nice, and they were able to speak to the past. And
you got to see Larry Bird smile. That's a good thing.
Always a good thing. But I think moving on, they just want to get better, and there's so many things they need to improve on. So I don't know if they're really caught up in the streak.
Does Danny Granger come back as a regular, or is he going to have to learn to play the role?
He's going to have to come off the bench. Now, he'll probably play starter's minutes once he gets his legs back. Maybe he'll play 25 minutes, and so will Lance Stevenson. So I don't think it's important who starts. It's really all about who finishes. And I think right now that would be Lance Stevenson's role.
239-13, tell me, go to Motep right quick. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
All right, I don't think I ever called you 2 days in a row, but this one I had to get out real quick to the sportscasters. Glad to see a sister helping us look at the basketball game.
All
Black women do. Black women do watch basketball. I'm
yes,
an old
we
pro
do.
Baseball fan. Now, if you can get them to watch baseball, help me out. Cause, it's hard to get them to watch baseball now, but I'm an old ball player. So anyway, and I'm going to comment on that. I heard some about Major League Baseball building a facility in Anderson a couple of years ago. Was it supposed to be some type of facility being built and trying to attract more African Americans back to the baseball? I think a lot of people see dark-skinned people playing out there, but they're not speaking English. They had a report come out maybe last year. I think Bud Selig put out in 1978, we had 20-something percent, maybe almost 30% of baseball players were African American. 2010, it was 8. It's pretty pitiful. What do you think are the causes of black young men? I mean, that's what put me through college, baseball, not playing baseball. And I'll take your comment. Thank you.
That's an interesting, because we got a great baseball team, part of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they're the manager of the Pirates, I guess, was manager of the year. That's never happened in a million years. What do you think that we ain't into baseball anymore?
I have a couple thoughts on this. Number one, I think that, I mean, there's some obvious things, and this applies to people of all color to some extent, but I think the baseball has talked about the pace of the game and things of that nature, and I think they're wanting to react to today's day and age where, we're in a microwave society, and and that whole deliberative style of play doesn't appeal to kids. So I think that's a step in the right direction. But I think larger than that, to be specific to our community, I think part of the problem is the NBA did a great job in maybe the 80s and 90s of really tapping into that young minority marketplace.
Agreed.
And, you know, with the, whether it be, you know, Nike with the shoes and Converse, and they did a great job of kind of tapping into the street, if you will. Mm-hmm. And baseball never made any kind of effort, I think, until recent years to really do this. They were so late in coming to the table and doing that, that I think it kind of passed them by. And so they're fighting an uphill battle right now. And just kids coming up, they're just not
interested. Because our kids are not fighting to play baseball, no. Whatever the Xbox game is for baseball,
no.
But we'll run over themselves for NFL 2014 or NBA 2014. Nobody knows. Nobody's talking about baseball 2014.
No, and you know the sad thing is that a lot of our young kids coming up would be very good baseball players. Mm-hmm. I mean, Candace and I have both covered high school sports in our careers, and I can remember talking to baseball coaches at the high school level who would tell me, "Man, you know, if I could get some of those track kids and football kids to come out here and play for this team, we might have something." And by that, to be honest, they meant the black kids, you know, because they didn't have speed. They want speed and athleticism. They lacked that.
And you don't see that so much in the game. I mean, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan right now, and so we only have one guy. Sorry to say we, but the Cardinals only had one guy who could really steal bases on a consistent basis, and he mm-hmm. wasn't even in the starting lineup. But there was a point that someone made to me last year, and it was very interesting. The reason why that person thought that baseball was out the window and basketball was such the sport. Basketball is a solitary sport. You mm-hmm. can practice it by yourself. You can do your and-one individual moves by yourself. All mm-hmm. you need is a ball, and then you can get into a game. But baseball, you have to have somebody.
Somebody to do. So now The town has calmed down since Sunday. You're on the way to Tennessee. What do we expect tomorrow night besides biting our fingernails?
Well, it's always going to be interesting, right? Because the Colts they don't know how to make it, you know, just sort of an easy night for me up in that press box on those nasty deadlines. But I'm not complaining. Okay. But anyway, I would expect them to be sharper at least. I'm not saying it won't be a close game, but I think they'll be sharper. They're just really trying to work through a lot of things. And this mm-hmm. Reggie Wayne injury is bigger than I think anyone really imagined. Not just because he's a great player, but because the drop-off has been so great, and it has really caused their offense to be a little dysfunctional. So it's been a real trickle-down effect there. They've got to work through that.
On the other side of court is Tennessee, which, you know, when they're lousy, they can rise to the occasion. When they're great, they can fall to the occasion. So it's six one way, have done the other. And we're playing Milwaukee. Who do we play after Milwaukee?
It's back-to-back, so they'll be in Chicago on Saturday night.
And was the Rose guy? I keep wanting to say Jalen Rose, but I know it's not Jalen Rose. See, I'm old school. How's he doing? And do they have to have Rose to be the Bulls?
Absolutely. You know, it'll be funny. This will be the fourth time they've actually played them within the last month and a half, because if you count those two preseason games. But Derrick Rose hasn't started the way that people would have expected. Well, he just sat out a whole year, so I guess you really can't say he started off so sluggishly. But he was shooting, last time I checked, he was shooting a very poor field goal percentage. And, they need him to score. They need him to be the facilitator. They need him to be everything.
And did I notice that Boston is winning games?
How about that?
Because everybody thought Brad Stevens. He's going to get all the money, and he's going to lose a thousand games in the first half of the season. And they're not bad.
And you know what? The worst team in the league, they're not the Celtics. It's the Utah Jazz. So they're not tanking for Wiggins or Parker or Randall. They're doing all right. And actually, after Chicago, the Pacers will be in New York and Boston next week.
So is that the first big game that the Pacers? Because that's Pacers against, that's Boston. So Bird is yelling at them, y'all need to win. And then it's Brad Stevens. So your editors will be saying, you got to do extra stuff. And so now you're all in print. Mm-hmm. Then y'all got this magazine thing that only if you have iPads. Mm-hmm. Y'all do not like Mr. Microsoft's Windows Phone. So you're from the Pacific Northwest. Would you tell them you're from the home of Microsoft and the old curmudgeon? That's all he uses. You know, tell Mr. Gannett to get the acting gig. And then do they let you on this TV show that they have with this Pat McAfee? Do they let you on this show?
Steven is like the regular.
Oh, you're the regular.
Well, I mean,
football will be over with, then they got to have something to do. See.
Right. Well,
you can't get a sister. You can't get a sister on the show.
I made my cameo.
She has her own show.
No. Well, I made my cameo, but that's the football. That's the Colts deal. And okay. We actually do have a holding court on web only show as well.
All right. And Mr. Kravitz is treating you all right.
Mr. Kravitz is the best. I don't know what was up with Jeff and saying that he's whatever. But no, Kravitz
he's still
is
short
the best.
Though.
He's a short guy, but
he's still short. I think Candace is taller.
Good people work at the Star. Really. All really,
right.
Folks.
There is color in the sports section, and we're not talking about the car ads. There's color in the sports section of the Indianapolis Star. So you need to look in there if you want to read about what the Colts are doing. It is Stephen Holder. If you want to read about how the Pacers are doing, it's Candace Buckner. You can see their pictures and you can go, my God, there's black people in the news. So now, see, hopefully they're doing such a great job in sports that will convince the high powers that be. Jeff Taylor, if you're listening, put some black folks in the other part of the newsroom, info center, or whatever they call it this week, before y'all move down to the mall. Anyway, guys, thanks very much for being with you. Welcome back anytime.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back, the Fathers and Family Centers, and then the robots, young people that are building robots.
Oh, wow.
From Harshman Middle School, they're going to be here. All this and more, and then also in our final half hour, we'll tell you more about the war that happened this morning at the State Board of Education. You know that whole Rich thing? She adjourned the meeting, dropped the mic, just... That's cold. That's bold. See, it takes a woman to do these kind of things. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.